Amen. Are y'all ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
Let's pray over God's word. Father, thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can assemble together today as your people, as the church. Lord, you've ordained this. You've ordained the church. You've ordained local churches, and you told us to come together, to assemble together. You said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Lord, we know there's something supernatural happens when we come together like this. We know, Lord, there's a grace that's imparted into our lives when we come together and gather together as the church. We thank you, Lord, there's a strength that we receive from one another. We thank you, Lord, there's a supply that each one of the Spirit that each one brings. And Lord, we thank you. We draw from all of that today, Lord, the collective faith, the collective anointing, Lord, that is here when we gather together. And we thank you, Lord, that not one of us will leave untouched by your power in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God. Go with me to John chapter 7 this morning. Praise God. John 7. And we're going to read a few verses here. An account of healing in the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. And verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Praise God. This blind man, blind from birth, was healed, miraculous healing by the Lord Jesus here. And so I want to dig into this. I want us to look at this story and see what we can learn, this account, this true account, and see what we can learn from it. Notice it starts with the disciples asking Jesus a question once they realize that the man has been blind from birth. And the question they ask is, why? Why did this happen? Why is this man blind from birth? Who sinned? Did the man sin? I mean, did God know that he was going to sin one day when he became 15, 18, 20, 25 years old? And God knew that was going to happen? And so, I don't know how much sinning a blind man can do, but if you think about it. But is that what happened? And then God just said, okay, I know you're going to mess up down the road. So bang, we're going to go ahead and zap you at the beginning here. Born blind. Okay. Did this man sin? Or perhaps maybe it was his parents that sinned. And this man is bearing the consequences of his parents' sin. My question is, why were they asking this question? Why were they asking these questions? It could have been because of their religious thinking that they raised this. Maybe they just automatically thought, if somebody's sick, then somebody has sinned. If somebody's afflicted, then that means God's punishing them. You know, I used to think that way. Did anybody ever think that way besides me? I broke my arm when I was fifth grade. It's kind of crazy the way it happened. I was at a baseball game. I was about to play in the baseball game. And no, it didn't come when I was sliding in. It was before the game. And there was a rickety old bleacher that was turned over. And I thought it would be a great idea with my cleats on to try and tightrope walk over that on that bleacher that was sitting halfway. And I didn't fall far, but I tried to break my fall with my left arm, and instead of breaking my fall, I broke my arm. and I really, as I recovered from that broken arm, I remember the thoughts in my mind over and over. I thought, I guess this is because I've been a bad boy. I guess it's, you know, and again, I'm only 10, 11 years old, so I've not done a lot of sinning in my life at that point, but I knew I'd messed up. And I thought, yeah, God, this is catching up with me now. I've been a bad boy. My arm's broken because I've done something wrong. So maybe it was their religious thinking. Maybe they thought, well, you know, somebody's got to have sinned here. Or it could be because they were thinking about another account of Jesus healing someone that they had witnessed sometime before, maybe just a few weeks or not a long period of time, though. And that happened on the other side of town at a place called the Pool of Bethesda. Now, this happened, this account, this blind man that Jesus heals, he tells him to go and wash in the Pool of Siloam, okay? And this was, and I'm assuming, presumably, that the Pool of Siloam was nearby. The Pool of Siloam was on the south side of the Temple Mount. We got to see it when I went to Israel. They were just beginning to uncover the ruins of the pool, which they identified as the Pool of Siloam, and they've got a lot further in the past 4.5 years now of uncovering this. But it's on the south side of the Temple Mount. Over on the north side of the Temple Mount is the Pool of Bethesda. Both of them were ceremonial washing pools. They weren't swimming pools. They were ceremonial pools where the people would do their ceremonial washing so they'd be clean before they went into the temple. And at the Pool of Bethesda, on the other side of town, Jesus healed a man that was lame. Remember that? Remember that account? He'd been lame 38 years, I think, or a long time anyway. And Jesus healed him there at the Pool of Bethesda. And then Jesus tells this lame man, he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, sometimes sin can open up the door to the devil. But we see many, many cases of healing where Jesus doesn't deal with that. For instance, I'm thinking about the woman in the synagogue that was bent over. She'd been that way 18 years and couldn't straighten up a bad, or what we would call, I guess, an arthritic condition. And Jesus healed her, and he said, this woman ought to be healed. She's a daughter of Abraham. She ought to be healed on the Sabbath day. Jesus didn't say one thing about that this woman had done anything wrong. And she was evidently a godly person. And so there's not always, you can't always make that connection. And for whatever reason, we don't know for sure, the disciples were trying to make that connection. Why? We don't understand why this man was born blind. Did he sin? Did his parents sin? What's the reason? Why did it happen? Well, let's look at how Jesus responded. And I want to address a misconception and a misinterpretation of Jesus' response here in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, if you take that on face value, and the way that a lot of people have interpreted it is this, that God made the man blind so Jesus could come along and heal him. Has anybody ever heard that? Okay, see, I'm not just making this up. People have heard that teaching, yeah. So God made the man blind so Jesus could, neither this man didn't sin, his parents didn't sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That's why he was born blind. And God the Father made him blind so I could come along and heal him. The problem with that line of thinking is it violates at least two spiritual principles that Jesus taught. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Father, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. So if God the Father made him blind, then Jesus would have come along and given him a double dose of blindness. Right? Oh, I see the Father made you blind. Here, take some more. Be doubly blind. No. And if Jesus is undoing what the Father has done, then he's working against the Father, right? If God the Father made him blind, Jesus came along and healed him, then Jesus is undoing what God the Father has done. And so he's working against the Father. And Jesus also had something to say about that concept in Matthew 12, 28. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he, Jesus, healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David, the Messiah? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. They didn't like Jesus. They were jealous of him. They saw that the demon had been cast out, and they said, yeah, he's casting out demons, but he's doing it by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. He's casting out demons by the power of the devil. This man's inspired by the devil to do this. But Jesus knew their thoughts, verse 25, and said to them, every kingdom... Well, how many kingdoms?
Every kingdom.
That'd be the kingdom of darkness, but would also be the kingdom of God, right? Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Again, if Jesus is healing those whom God the Father has afflicted, as presumed by a wrong interpretation of this case of the man born blind, then the kingdom of God is divided. And what's going to happen? It can't stand, right? Amen? No, but Jesus made it clear. He said, no, I'm casting out demons by and healing the afflicted by the Spirit of God. I'm doing it by the Spirit of God. And that agrees with what Peter said in Acts 10, 38. We know this, but let's look at it again. How God anointed, who anointed him?
God.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about what? Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil, for God was with him. All sickness and all disease, that is oppression of the devil. Jesus was anointed, was sent by God, was anointed of God with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing. Amen. So it couldn't be that God made the man blind so Jesus could heal him. That could not be a proper or correct interpretation of this. Can you see that? So let's go back there now. John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, I realize that it's risky to repunctuate the Bible, okay? To repunctuate a translation of the Scripture, but I believe this passage warrants it, and the rest of Scripture supports it. So there should have been, put verse 3 back up there, Kim. Look at this with me. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. There really ought to be a period right there. And say, well, why wasn't there, Pastor? Well, because the Greek language in which the Bible was written has no punctuation. There's no punctuation in the Greek. The translators had to guess. And most all the time they guess right. And you can trust your Bible that it's a correct and accurate. I'm not undermining our confidence in the Scripture. But here's how it should read. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. End of discussion. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that, guys. This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. Well, why then? Well, it doesn't matter why. Sometimes it's necessary to find out why. But if God doesn't show you that right away, then don't bother about why. Because the devil can use why to keep you from getting to your healing.
Amen.
Amen. Neither this man sinned. Now look, it makes perfect sense as we'll read through it, to read it like this. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. Now, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, comma, should be right there. Then verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Neither this man sinned nor his parents. Period. End of discussion. Now, let's change our focus, guys. Let's change our focus from asking why to seeing what we can do here. I must work the works of him who sent me. Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I've got to work those works.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, what are those works? Well, we read in Acts 10:38 what those works are. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? So in other words, Jesus answers their question this way, of who sinned? Neither this man nor his parents. End of story. Stop debating why. Let's get this man healed. The Message Bible completely concurs with that as we read it out of the Message. And look at this. When they asked the question, who sinned, this man or his parents? Here's how the Message reads it. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be looking for what God can do. Not get stuck asking, trying to figure out who to blame. That got Adam and Eve in trouble, right?
Yeah.
It was the serpent's fault. It was her fault. It's the woman you gave me. It was a serpent. And when God finally got to the serpent, he didn't have a leg to stand on. Some of you will get that on the way, huh? He had no one to blame, did he? All right. Look instead, Jesus said, for what God can do. There's no such cause and effect here. Don't look for somebody to blame. Look instead for what God can do. Now, back to verse 6 in the New King James again. When he had said these things, when he had said what? When he had said, I must work the works of him who sent me so that the glory of God could be revealed in the man. When he had said these things, then he proceeded to demonstrate exactly what those things were. And that was to bring healing to this man.
Yeah.
When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went, and he washed, and he came back seeing. Hallelujah. The end result was the man got healed.
Amen.
The end result was the blind man can now see. And that, beloved, that's the work of God.
Amen.
That's the works that Jesus did. Completely in agreement with the will of the Father. Not working against the Father, but completely in agreement with the will of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
We live in a fallen world, and we don't always know why. But we don't have to always know why.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We know it's bottom line. We know it's the will of God for folks to be healed. We know it's the will of God for all to be healed. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Praise God. So I want to, that's part one of this message. I want to shift the focus still from this passage and point something else out here. The second part of this message, and actually there's 2 points to this second part. And this is this. Number one, we have a part to play. We have to cooperate with God in order to receive our healing. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Did this man have a part to play in receiving his healing?
Yes, he did.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, he had a part to play. What did he have to do? After Jesus, think about this. Now, you sure you want Jesus to minister to you? Somebody said, well, If I could have just, you know, been here when Jesus was on the earth and Jesus personally could minister to me, I know I would have received my healing. Are you sure? Are you sure you want that? Jesus takes his saliva you know, maybe perhaps clears his throat so he can get enough of it in there. I mean, let's get real. And he spits in the dirt and he takes that and makes a clay with his saliva and the dirt. And then he says, "Hold still, buddy." And he puts it on the man's eyes. And so then he tells the guy, "Go and wash." Hopefully he had somebody to lead him there, but somebody got there. "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And the Bible says the man went and he washed and he came back seeing. Now, if the man had stormed off angry, upset, and offended, would he have gotten his healing?
No.
If the man had said, well, I just thought you'd come along. You know, we have a kind of a similar thing that happened with the story of, in the Old Testament, the story of Naaman, who had leprosy. He was a commander of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. And he went to the prophet Elisha to get healed, right? And Elisha didn't even come out. Elisha sent his servant out to tell him, "Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be healed." Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. And at first Naaman got offended. And "You mean I came all the way here for that?" Well, I got, there's the muddy, and it is. The Jordan River is muddy. I got baptized in it the last time I was there, when I was there in Israel in 2019. It's muddy. And he said, there's rivers in Syria that are much better. And he was missing the point. His point, the point was, that was his step of faith. That was his step of cooperation with God. And so thankfully, his servant convinced him and said, "Listen, master, if he'd have told you to do something great, if he'd have told you to climb the mountain and to the top of the mountain where the great bald eagle has its nest and steal the egg of the bald eagle and crack it open and eat, like in, what is that, Nacho Libre? Is that Nacho Libre? If I remember that. Would you have done that if he'd asked you to do something great?" He said, all you got to do is go down here to the Jordan, dip 7 times. And he dipped, and the 7th time, his flesh was restored, complete, perfect. And so, this is something, you know, something similar. So the man, the point is this, the man had to cooperate, right?
Yep.
And you know, there are times where we really, in every case, the circumstances and the way we cooperate may be different. And it's not that we're earning our healing, but we're cooperating with God as a way to release our faith. Amen. And take a step of faith, because faith is necessary. Faith on our part is necessary to receive from God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And so again, the man had to cooperate. It was his act of faith in obeying the instructions that Jesus gave him. That's what activated. It was faith that activated the healing power. Amen. And it's important to understand that in our lives today when we're endeavoring to receive healing. Praise God. Your act of faith could be, it could be something the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart to do. Or it could be instructions given to you by the one that's ministering healing to you through the laying on of hands or whatever method. But it's important to cooperate with God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to refer to an example that Brother Hagin shared in Health Food. And I know a lot of you have this book now, and we highly recommend it. It'll be a blessing to you. It's a daily dose of food for your faith for healing. Amen. And it's so good. I just want to share this. I'm just going to read directly from it here. In 1950, I was preaching at a meeting in Oklahoma, and at the close of my sermon, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Minister to those who have anything wrong with them from their hips down." So I just spoke that out. Well, 12 people came. The first man looked like he was sitting down, but he was scooting his feet along because his legs were drawn up. Like that. All right. I asked him what was wrong, and he explained that he had been burned. In fact, this was the first day he had been out of bed in a whole year. He spent 6 months in the hospital and 6 months in the bed at home. His legs were burned so deeply that the muscles and ligaments had left his legs drawn up. When the Lord said to minister to these people, I thought he meant to lay hands on them. But as the people were coming down to the front, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, don't touch a single one of them. Don't pray for them. Deal with each one of them individually, not as a group. Say to them, the Lord told me to tell you to run down that aisle and back up this aisle, and you'll be healed. I said to the man who had been burned, can you run? It so startled him that he just said, no, I can't walk, much less run. I said, well, the Lord told me to tell you to run down that aisle and back up this one, and you'll be healed. That man never doubted for a minute. He started scooting as fast as he could. He scooted down one aisle and back up the other one, and he was no better. Well, when God speaks to you, don't give in to the devil. I said, do it again. He did it again. When he came by me, the Spirit of God came on me, and before I knew what I was doing, I leaped off the platform and took him by the arm and ran down that aisle with him. When we ran up the other aisle, he was running as well as I was. His legs were straight. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
After the man who had been burned was healed, I took the next one aside and dealt with him individually. I asked him what was wrong with him. Then I said to him, the Lord said, run. He whirled around and started running. 11 out of the 12 were instantly healed as they obeyed God. When I got to the 12th one, I said, are you ready to run? I thought she would be just as thrilled as the rest of them were to take off running. Instead, she said, oh, Brother Hagin, I can't run. I have arthritis. I said to her, didn't you hear as I talked to the other people? In fact, a woman who couldn't even walk down to the front by herself was healed. Three men had to hold her up. She had arthritis too. But as she started to run, her body straightened out and was all right. Did you see her? She said, yes, but I know I can't do it. I answered, all I know to do is tell you what the Lord told me. And you saw that 11 people have already been healed. She turned around and made one or two feeble steps. I said, you got down here by yourself. Some of the rest of them had canes and crutches. You don't even need a cane or crutch. Then without thinking, I said to her, turn around and look at me. You don't want to run, do you? Something on the inside of you rose up against it, didn't it? She said, yes, it sure did. I said, you go just sit down and do without it. You're not going to get it as long as you're thinking like that. And it's sad. I don't know if the woman ever got her situation corrected or not, but she decided she didn't want to cooperate. 11 of the other of the 12 cooperated, even though what they did is they did something they couldn't do.
Amen.
Well, how do you do that? You do that by faith. And their action, their cooperation with the Spirit of God released their faith, which activated the healing power.
Amen.
That's how God works. That's how God works. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, point number two, and that is this. So we have to cooperate with God, like this blind man did, going and washing in the pool of Siloam. There was a man in the synagogue who had a withered hand. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. Well, I can't stretch out my hand. It's withered. Well, he did something he couldn't do, and he made the effort to stretch it out, and it was healed. Amen? So we cooperate with God. Second point is this. Not all healings are instantaneous. Sometimes they are gradual. Even when Jesus ministered to people. This blind man was not healed instantly, was he?
No.
He was not healed instantly when Jesus anointed his eyes. He said, well, that should have done it. The moment Jesus put that clay mixture on his eyes, that should have done it. But no, it was a process. The Bible says he went and he washed and he came back seeing. And sometimes healing is a process. Amen? Clint, you can come on back up and begin to play if you would. So let's look at another account in the Scripture. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priest. Jesus didn't lay hands on them. Jesus didn't touch them. Well, it says when he saw them, it says they stood afar off. So when Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. Were they any better when Jesus said that to them? No. They still were full of leprosy. Now, again, why did he tell them, go show yourself to the priest? Because if you read the book of Leviticus, you find out that the protocol, the process that they were to go through when they were healed of leprosy is once a person was healed, then he would go and present himself to the priest, and it was only the priest that could pronounce him cured. And so these men are still full of leprosy. Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. What are they? They've got a decision. They could have thought, we can't do that. We're not well yet. We're still full of leprosy. We can't do that. But they didn't do it. The Bible says they took off. And so it was that as they went, everybody say, as they went. As they went, they were cleansed. So again, we've got two things working here. Number one, we have their cooperation to the instructions that Jesus gave them. And number two, we've got them believing that they're healed before there's any evidence of it. And their healing was progressive. It was not instantaneous while they're going. I don't know how it happened. If the spots of leprosy started to disappear one by one as they're going, or if halfway all of the leprosy disappeared, or right before they got to the priest. But anyway, as they went, they were cleansed and they were healed. And you remember that one of them came back to give thanks, and Jesus said, go in peace, your faith. Everybody say, your faith.
Your faith.
Say, my faith.
My faith.
Amen. That man's faith, he said, go in peace, your faith has made you whole. Your faith, praise God. They had to, their faith was necessary, and their faith was released by their cooperation, but it was gradual. Amen. They didn't talk themselves out of it. As they went, they were cleansed. So some healings are gradual. Amen. This verse is particularly significant to me. Especially that statement there in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. I mentioned about going to Israel in 2019. About a month before I went, I started having some symptoms in my body that were not right, that were not healthy. And I won't go into details, and it was nothing that would kill me. But it was something that as I got closer to going on this trip and I wasn't getting any better, you know, the thoughts began to come to me, well, you're going to get over there and you're going to end up in the hospital in Israel, which might not have been a bad thing. They're probably better there now than they are here. So no offense to anyone that works in the medical profession. It's just because of all that's happened here politically and with the insurance and all of that. I don't know, but I know that... I'm sure that the hospitals in Israel are good, but I didn't want to be in the hospital. I wanted to be on the tour. And so the thoughts were coming to me, you're going to get over there and you're going to have to be hospitalized. And so as I thought about that, thank God for the Holy Ghost, this scripture rose up. He reminded me of this scripture. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I've spoken. Amen. And he did. Thank God. He said, As I was thinking about this, this scripture came to me. As they went, they were healed. Go on and go. You're going to be fine. And you know what happened? As I went, I was healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Condition completely corrected. By midway through the trip, I was 90% well. And by the time I got home, 100% well. Been well ever since.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But that's true. As they went, it's a process sometimes. And not all healings are instant. It may be in your case, as you go, you're healed. In other words, the healing manifests. Amen? Praise God. I want to read you another couple of stories out of Healthfood. You all right with that? All right. I was holding a meeting one time, and a blind woman was sitting right in front of the pulpit. I laid hands on her. The power of God came upon her, and she fell under the floor, on the floor under the power of God. She didn't fall under the floor. That would have been strange. She fell on the floor under the power of God. When she got up, her face was shining like a new moon, like a neon sign at night. And she was yelling, "I can see, I can see." She was instantly healed. I learned later she had been totally blind for 3 or 4 years. We should have some instant healings like this, because folks had them in the early church, as recorded in the New Testament. But on the other hand, often, get this now, often if a person doesn't receive an instant manifestation, he might think that God was not in his laying on of hands experience. But that's not so. He needs to go his way in obedience to the Lord. He needs to keep the switch of faith turned on. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Keep the switch of faith turned on." What does that mean? What does that mean? That means to keep believing. That means to believe that the healing power of God is working in my body. We laid hands on Thomas several weeks ago. He had suffered a stroke. We laid hands on him several weeks ago. I found, and he'd been getting better. He's been getting better ever since. It's been a gradual recovery. And you drove it? Yeah. I was about to tell that. Amen. He told me this week he's been driving again. He drove his truck to church this morning. He drove. Praise God. Amen. He's recovering. But I told him after we laid hands on him, ministered to him, I said, "Now, Thomas, every time you think about it, say, hands were laid on me. The healing power of God is working in me, and I am recovering." Amen. Amen. And he's been saying that. And the power of God's working in him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. We need to keep the switch of faith turned on. That same night that the blind woman was healed in my meeting, there was a young couple that brought their little boy to be healed. He had 2 club feet. I'd never seen another child afflicted that way. I've seen children with 1 club foot, but never 2. With the same anointing that I had when I laid hands on the blind woman, I laid hands on this little boy. I held those little feet in my hands, and I felt the power of God go into his feet. I opened my hands and looked at them, and they looked just as crippled as they had before I prayed. I told the young couple, "Now, I know that the blind woman received an instant healing. To encourage you, I can tell you what the Bible says and what God has said to me. I can't go beyond that. When Jesus appeared to me in a vision and laid the finger of his right hand in the palm of each one of my hands, he said to me, 'When you feel that power leave your hands and go into them, you'll know they're healed.' That means as far as God is concerned, it's done. Keep believing and saying, 'The healing power of God was administered to my child's body and is working in him to heal him.'" That was on a Thursday night. We closed the meeting that night and left. Some months later, we were holding a seminar in Tulsa, and this young couple was there. They came to the platform and asked the pastor if they could show the congregation their child's normal feet. Their testimony was that they did just what I told them to do. They held fast to their confession, and their child's feet were made just as perfect as they could be. But it was over a period of time. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Mark 16, 17 and 18 says this, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they what? They'll what? They will recover. That sounds like gradual to me. It can be instant, certainly. They'll lay hands on the sick. What'll happen? They will recover. Praise God. So when hands are laid on you for healing, you should always say, "Hands were laid on me, and I am recovering." Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Read you one more, and then we're going to do something here. "Several years ago, I received a letter from a woman who had attended one of my meetings in Houston, Texas. She wrote, I was healed of lung cancer at your meeting. Now, I'm not saying that I was healed instantly. I wasn't. But the manifestation began the moment you laid hands on me. I am a 32-year-old mother of two young daughters, and my condition was very serious. In fact, the doctors expected me to live only a few weeks. I had multiple malignant tumors in my lungs. She continued, "Now, I was skeptical of your tactics. Each night you laid hands on me." Evidently, she got in the healing line every night. "I felt nothing. And then the last night, you taught on Mark 16:15-18. I had never heard a sermon preached on that passage before. I believed what you said and asked God in the name of Jesus to heal me. After that, I got in the healing line. And the moment you laid hands on me, I felt hot from the top of my head to the soles of my feet." That was the healing power of God going into her. The tumors were located in two places in her lungs. One tumor was large and the other was smaller. A month after the healing power of God went into her, the large tumor was gone. The doctors couldn't find it. And in another 2 months, the other tumor was gone. The doctors were baffled. They couldn't understand it. But you see, from the moment that hands were laid upon her, she began to amend. The rest of the letter stated that she was able to do all of her housework, mow the yard, and she felt wonderful. Well, isn't that just like our wonderful Jesus? Amen. Once this woman accepted the death blow to that cancer, she began to recover. And over the course of time, the healing was manifested. Amen. So not all healings are instant. And if we, and sometimes we can miss what God is doing and wants to do in our bodies to heal us if we think, "Oh, well, it didn't happen instantly, so I must not have got it. It must not have worked." Don't do that. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Are you hearing me this morning? Keep believing. Amen. Mark 16:17. And put that back up again, Kim, if you would. "And these signs will follow" who? "Those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Who? Who's the they there? Who's the first they? Believers, right? Yes. "These signs will follow those who believe." They, believers, yep, will lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, will recover. All right? So what I want to do this morning, I believe at the direction of the Holy Spirit, if you have any sickness in your body, any pain in your body, and you're ready, you want to receive your healing, I want you to stand up. If you have any sickness, pain, infirmity in your body, I want you to stand up. All right? Now, all right, remain standing. All right? I want the rest of us in here. I want the rest of us in here, believers. I want you to lay hands on these folks. Now, before you go and do that, I want you to identify. We see who we're going to lay hands on. All right. So I want at least one person laying hands on each one of the people that are standing. Okay. All right. Now, who does it say the signs will follow? Those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick believers. So if you are a believer and you want to participate and you want to help in this, then I want you to stand up right now and I want you to hold your hands out in front of you. All right? Look at your hands. And as you do, I want you to say this. I am a believer. And Jesus said, these signs will follow believers. That means me. I lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. I lay my hands, these hands, on the sick and they will recover. Now, the healing is not in your hands. It's just a point of contact. Well, there's no healing power in my hands. I don't feel anything. It's a point of contact. So I want you, believers, to lay hands. Now, raise your hand if you want to receive healing. If you stood up to receive, because I've got everybody standing now. It's hard to identify. If you stood up in the first call, raise your hand and hold it up. Now, the rest of you, go around and lay hands on them. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Father, we thank. Now, I'm just going to pray. You don't have to pray. You can pray quietly over them if you want to. But Jesus said, lay hands. He didn't say pray. He said, lay hands. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, Father, we thank you for your promise. Jesus, you said that these signs will follow believers. You said that believers would lay hands on the sick, and that the sick would recover. So, Lord, we believe that right now. Lord, as hands are being laid upon the sick by believers, we thank you that from this moment, they are recovering in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you that stood up and that raised your hand that you needed healing, I want you to say this. Say this out loud right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, hands are laid on me, and I believe that I am recovering from this moment. The healing power of God is working in my body. I am recovering in the name of Jesus. According to the Word of God, it is mine. I am recovering in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's all raise our hands now. Amen. And give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now,